Come greater being, social friend, annihilating 12 in one. We long to die, for when we end, our larger life has but begun. Again, 12 stanzas. By this time, the soma had begun to work. Eyes shone, cheeks were flushed, the inner light of universal benevolence broke out on every face in happy, friendly smiles. Even Bernard felt himself a little melted. When Morgana Rothschild turned and beamed at him, he did his best to beam back. But the eyebrow, that black two-in-one, alas, it was still there. He couldn't ignore it, couldn't, however hard he tried. The melting hadn't gone far enough. Perhaps if he had been sitting between Fifi and Joanna. For the third time the loving cup went round.
"I drink to the imminence of his coming,"
said Morgana Rothschild, whose turn it happened to be to initiate the circular rite. Her tone was loud, exultant. She drank and passed the cup to Bernard.
"I drink to the imminence of his coming,"
he repeated, with a sincere attempt to feel that the coming was imminent. But the eyebrow continued to haunt him, and the coming, so far as he was concerned, was horribly remote. He drank and handed the cup to Clara Detterding. "It'll be a failure again," he said to himself. "I know it will," but he went on doing his best to beam. The loving cup had made its circuit. Lifting his hand, the president gave a signal. The chorus broke out into the third solidarity hymn.
Feel how the greater being comes, rejoice and in rejoicings die. Melt in the music of the drums, for I am you and you are I.
As verse succeeded verse, the voices thrilled with an ever intenser excitement. The sense of the coming's imminence was like an electric tension in the air. The president switched off the music, and with the final note of the final stanza, there was absolute silence, the silence of stretched expectancy. Quivering and creeping with a galvanic life, the president reached out his hand, and suddenly a voice, a deep, strong voice, more musical than any merely human voice, richer, warmer, more vibrant with love and yearning and compassion, a wonderful, mysterious, supernatural voice spoke from above their heads, very slowly.
"Oh, Ford, Ford, Ford,"
it said, diminishingly, and on a descending scale. A sensation of warmth radiated thrillingly out from the solar plexus to every extremity of the bodies of those who listened. Tears came into their eyes, their hearts, their bowels seemed to move within them, as though with an independent life.
"Ford!"
They were melting. "Ford!" Dissolved, dissolved. Then, in another tone, suddenly, startlingly,
"Listen!"
trumpeted the voice.
"Listen!"
They listened.